All right, hi. I'm Scott Jones. I'm the director of the Electronic Frontiers Forums track at DragonCon, and this is the self-publishing panel. And so I'd like to have our panelists introduce themselves and briefly describe their interest in self-publishing.
She's writing.
Oh, we're starting on my side?
Apparently.
Okay. What was the question?
Who are you?
My name's Jenny Breeden, and I do a webcomic called The Devil's Panties. I also do Geebas on Parade, and I'm in comic shops through Diamond. You can hear me, right? Still?
I'm Soma G. Darling. I'm a photographer, amongst other things, but I mostly publish photography books and photo comics.
I'm Nick Popio. I work for Lulu.com. We do print on demand. It's awesome.
I'm Kimiko. I go by Kimmy. I'm an aspiring writer, and I have several podcasts, and I've done a lot of very, very, very short erotica fiction that I've published on my website. So I'm here about that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So last year we kind of started this panel as a discussion of Lulu.com and companies that are like Lulu.com, and this year we probably want to broaden it a little bit. We have Kimiko with us, and she is a writer, an independent writer, and she's got, as she said, a podcast on that. So we want to touch on that a little bit more too. It's not just about the publishing; it's a little bit more about the writing and how you get started with that too. Let's start off with some of the writing, if you don't mind,
sure.
And talk about, you know, where do you get ideas? Where do you get inspiration from? How do you get started? How do you put it together?
Well, a lot of my ideas come from the genre I like. I like urban fantasy, so I read that a lot. That's where I get most of my inspiration. Coming here is really helpful, the goth track, the writing tracks, getting to see people like Jim Butcher and Sherilyn Kenyon and things like that is very helpful, and being able to sit on those panels just helps with the ideas, you know, as they're talking. The podcasting has been really fun and very interesting because I'm being very interactive with other writers and have been featuring critique pieces, so they'll send it in and read it, and, you know, we'll critique it together, you know, and feed off of each other, and then other people can hear that podcast and send in their own comments about, you know, what we've written, things like that. So
sounds good. I guess with Nick, can we maybe move on into a little bit of the what happens once you've written the great American novel, or your great American novel, and how would you go about, give us some of the ideas of the process for getting it out there on the street?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of different options for you. From, you know, strictly from a Lulu perspective, all that you would have to do is take the electronic document that you've created, Word doc, PDF, what have you, and upload it to the site. You go through the publishing process, you choose your cover, all that stuff, and then you get to set your price. You decide how much you want to make off of each individual sale. And then people would come to the website and purchase it from there, so you don't have to pay any upfront costs or anything like that. And you get to make money for your intellectual property. We don't have any, we don't take any of your copyright. You keep all of that, so there's no risk to you. If you ended up getting picked up by a traditional publisher and that was the route that you wanted to take, you're free to take it off of the website at any time and pursue whatever opportunities you have.
Okay, all right. So Maji, do you want to talk a little bit more about some of your publishing projects?
I don't really know what to talk about. I put pictures on pages and sell it to people.
It's that third part that's the hard part.
It's the third part is the hard part. I've actually collaborated with an author here in the room, JJ. We did a photographic comic that he has not brought me to show you. But that was a lot harder. As Jenny knows, writing sequential art is not quite that easy. Putting it together is even harder. Collaborating with somebody else makes it kind of confusing. But when you're doing things for yourself, I crank my stuff out in about a month, but that's usually 7 or more nights where I don't sleep. And it's mostly design. Personally, I think my photography is pretty freaking kick-ass. So I think that's the least of my worries is the design and making sure it's appealing to other people. It's mostly trying to connect to other people wanting to buy it is my biggest problem.
Okay, and Jenny, you've got the webcomic. You want to talk a little bit about that, a little more about the publishing with that?
I recommend anybody who's getting into publishing or getting into trying to get it published, I recommend having a website or putting it up online. I know that there is, if you're going towards the novel aspect of writing and actual literature, I think there is some stuff that you have to keep in mind as far as, I think there's some laws about, not laws, but first printing copyrights and stuff like that. I'm not aware of those because a lot of the stuff that I do is cartoons, a lot of artwork. And the way that I started it was I started it online thinking, oh, well, this website will help me keep drawing every day while I get my real job. And eventually it turned into my real job. Last September, I quit my day job and I've been doing quite well. I'm still paying the mortgage bills. Other than that, I have no idea how I'm making any money. But having the website helped a whole lot because you put it out there for people to read, you got some feedback, and you got some support as far as, well, I don't want to do a cartoon today, I'm really tired. If I don't update, people will come and find me. So it was a good motivational tactic. And so getting that done every single day, knowing that somebody was reading it, was really good inspiration to keep going. And you get emails saying, you know, oh my God, I thought I was the only person that ran around in bunny slippers at Kroger at 3 o'clock in the morning singing Elvis songs. Which there's a lot of us out there. And so you do get that support, and it helps for getting new inspiration is that you realize there are other people out there who are just as interesting and unique as you. I have found that I'm unique just like everyone else. In a lot of different ways. And so having the website has also, after about 4 years of having a daily website, when I needed to go to print, when I needed to print up the books and send them out to Diamond has you have to sell 12,000 or $24,000 worth of comic books before they're printed, before they even come out. You have to sell a whole lot of them, the pre-order. And so having the website, I went up on my online and said, okay, guys, I have this comic book coming out in comic shops. Go order it right now. I had a lot of people say, you know, oh, how do you buy a comic book? Is there a store that you go to find these things? So I pulled some people from the webcomics into print, and I pulled some print people into webcomics because a lot of the print people, I said, well, I have this up online. And they said, oh, cool, how much is a subscription? And I said, no, it's free. And they went, why? It must not be very good. So I recommend the webcomic and the putting up on the internet, because no matter where you go in the world, you can give them a card and say, go home and check this out. And it also, once you build up your fan base there, then you can pull that into print. So when you do print something up, you already have an audience who can go out and buy it, in theory.
Okay. Do you know of anybody that you can cite as really good success stories? Is this kind of like the follow the money part? And I guess if you are publishing, how have you done so far financially? And do you look for, how has it been going so far?
I haven't published anything yet. I'm mostly in the process of it, building, like she said, building a fan base, building critique, you know, people to read the betas and things like that. I can cite Scott Sigler, who's here on the podcasting panel, on the Second Life panel. He's the first one to have serialized his book in a podcast. And he sold so many. I mean, he's got like 3 books, I think. I know at least 2 that's in stores, mm-hmm. you know, of what he podcasted. So it directly translated into book sales.
There's a fair number of people, I think, that are out there. Mark Jeffries is an example. Pocket and the Pendant definitely has done well. And so, yeah, I can't give any specific numbers or anything like that, but there are definitely a lot of people who are out there who are making this work.
I consider her a pretty successful story. I mean, if she could pay her rent, I think that's good. I don't have that high much standards in life. If I could buy my groceries and pay my rent and have money to go out and do something crazy with, I'm totally happy. So I guess she's a good example. But otherwise, success story-wise, I'm very shy, and I'm not very good at selling things because I have the mindset of, well, if you don't like it, then you shouldn't buy it. I'm not going to try to pressure you. And that's why I'm in school trying to learn how to do that. But every time I go somewhere and I have the books with me and somebody just browses through it, they eventually buy it. So I think I have a pretty good product. It's just I'm not very good at marketing or salesmanship.
Lying helps.
I'm not good at lying.
So you're a good liar then?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
I'm selling my stuff as pornography. Little do they know.
Well, I got boobies in my books.
There you go. Say it's about boobs. How do they call those? Art photography.
Well, that's what it is.
Well, that's, so you're not lying.
You lean it more towards the sketchy aspect of it, and you say it's art, wink, wink. Photography.
Oh, or skate. Well, there's some butts in here.
There you go.
Very good.
Okay. As far as success stories, there's some obvious ones. PvP and Penny Arcade and Girl Genius are all, you know, huge web comics who are pretty much within the industry. You know, they're the big names, the heavy hitters. One successful story that Neil Gaiman cited was that Something Positive had gotten a bunch of emails about people complaining about his spelling, and he said, listen, I've got a day job. You know, I do this on my off hours. If you want me to worry about my spelling, why don't you pay for, you know, my income for a year? What was it, 1 month, 2 months? And they gave him 30... How much was it? 30? How much do normal people make in a year?
30-something, yeah.
30-something thousand dollars, yeah. Which I make 30, I make 12,000 a year. So when I say that I make rent, that's not saying much. It helps to have your expenses really low. So successful.
Okay. Are there any particular online references that you can say are especially helpful? And I could possibly bring some things up here on the computer if you want me to show anything.
We wrote down our URLs. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Are we going to questions in the audience, or do we still have?
You want online references
for trying to get started in self-publishing kind of stuff?
Yeah. Anything. And I'll try to bring some of this up here.
Go to lulu.com.
You go, Nick.
Yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, we have fairly extensive forums, and we have a very active community of people who have already gotten started in self-publishing and who are happy to give advice and help people get started and figure out all these nuances. And give advice also on what your options are, because there are definitely a lot of options out there. I mean, the thing I can really recommend the most is just doing your research, do some Google searches, check out some of the obvious options. There's
do you want to type these?
I'm blanking on these now.
This is your job.
Far as going to a publisher or going to self-publishing. So there's
What your options are there. If you do a web search on self-publishing and you look around a little bit, you'll find some analysis of what options you have out there and unbiased options. Making Light is a good blog. Teresa Nielsen Hayden, she does that. And has some really good advice on there, and will definitely tell you which places not to go to, because for whatever reasons people have had bad experiences or whatever through those. So those are definitely things you want to look out for anywhere that you don't want to end up wasting your money on something that is really something you care about. So do your research, figure out what you want, and then find some place that can do that for you, because there's a lot of places out there. I happen to think, though I am slightly biased to this fact, I happen to think Lulu is one of the better ones out there.
But, I put you first.
Yeah.
It's very small, but
you can grow the font.
Having the comment of deciding what you want to do is a good one, in that deciding if this is your baby and you don't want it altered anyway and you don't want it to leave your own hands, or if you know you could care less whatever it takes to get it in print. I thought that the publisher would come out of the sky and whisk me away to the land of land of printing. That didn't happen, so I had to go to the land of printing myself and put down my own money towards it. So I actually did go to publishing companies and solicit myself and my stuff. Sorry, solicit my books, honest. And I got a lot of people saying, oh, this is really great work. It's not really what we're looking for. And I even got one guy that said, oh, I'm a really big fan. I have your books. I really like your stuff. It's not really what we're looking for. And so after enough of those, my mom said you have to have a stack of rejection letters about an inch thick before you start getting any acceptance letters. But I said, well, screw this. I'm going to do it myself. So I went to Lulu and I looked at publisher printers, and I put down a couple of $100 to get a couple of books printed up, found out what DPI was. Which is, Lulu's good because you print off, you spend $8 and print off one book and you go, ooh, yeah, I messed that one up. Instead of spending $3,000 and getting 1,000 of them printed up and going, oh, yeah, cropping. Crap.
Oops.
So yeah, there's the baby steps to world domination.
I don't have any examples. I've been making books since I was a little kid, and again, it's visual art, so it's hard to say where to get examples, because I don't really look for anything. Sorry.
The only other thing I was going to say besides what I typed up there is that LiveJournal actually has a lot of really good communities for writers and authors, but there's also lots of, there's a speculative fiction market group, and I mean, if you look on LiveJournal for publishing, you'll find a lot of different groups that just list, you know, e-zines and things like that. So any place you can find communities is also a really good resource.
Listen to the horror stories. Read the contracts.
Okay. How many people in the audience are currently writing, even if just for yourself?
Writing novel or
writing whatever, poetry,
or?
You know, we could even broaden that to any publishable creation, maybe photography, game books. And then of those, how many are interested in getting publishing, even if it's self-publishing? So, okay. Pretty good.
Yep.
Is there any audience questions? Because I don't know
Any questions?
I've got one. Can you guys share any horror stories or...
Thank you. I feel all official now. Can you guys share any horror stories or pitfalls that you run into when it comes to copyright and getting legal protection for your work? For example, for a webcomic, you know, you can put the little C there at the end and some company name, but, you know, there's nothing to protect you from someone going out there and stealing it. So any words of wisdom for going down that road to... getting with an attorney and making sure that you have, you know, the copyright protection that you need?
I don't have any horror stories, but I can say do get your copyright. Take the steps and file your copyright officially. The idea that you can send it a copy of your work to yourself in the mail is a myth. That doesn't work. Get yourself officially copyrighted as soon as possible. It's like $40 or something like that, I think.
$30,
so not that expensive to protect yourself. So do that immediately as soon as you're done with whatever it is that you're working on.
Where is this magical land of copyright?
If you go to the, if you do just do a Google search on it, it's copyright.gov, I think.
I think it is copyright.gov.
Yeah, I think it's copyright.gov, G-O-V.
You can also send whatever work you have printed, you can send it to the... This is a friend of mine in Marvel told me about this, like the National Archival Society or something, and it can, it, you can put your book or whatever in the system for, you know, that it's recorded for all time.
All right, PhD. What?
I do know that if you are doing any from life writing or anything about your life or anybody else's life, don't use real names.
Yes.
I don't care if they're your best friend or your mom or your husband. Life is a very long time and things change. I had a best friend once. Yeah, so you either don't use the real names or you get a nice little thing printed up that says, you know, they forfeit all rights to the character at all. One of my friends who is in the comic book helped me. He had found something that was a contract for real world. What do they call those?
The reality show.
It was a reality show contract that said we can do whatever we want because you are now a character. And we can portray you in whatever manner that we want, and we can make toys and merchandising, and we can have that character go off and do whatever we want, whether it's true or not. And so, yeah, it's an interesting experience to go to a loved one or, say, my boyfriend and say, honey, I love you. Could you sign this? And it worries me that he didn't read it when he did sign it. So some other things I'm going to get him to sign.
Well played.
Any more questions? What I wanted to do is I wondered if you could, is there any information on this, on the Lulu site, where you could kind of walk us through the process?
Sure. Hang on.
Go, Nick, go.
Do you have, like, any kind of a document at all that I could use as a test? Text or
there may be a PDF on there.
Okay. Okay. So basically, what we have is a fairly simple system. We're going to assume that we're opening a. I'll actually log into my account really quickly.
Ooh.
Hope that password's got stars on.
Let's hope. But as you can see, there's also a nice handy tab that says help on it, where you can get help, strangely enough. And we have extensive facts and just information about the site, but also about publishing in general. Obviously, it's a little bit slanted towards trying to publish on Lulu, but I think it's useful anyway. Regardless, let's... Loading. Okay, so we'll just try and jump through. Oh, that's good. We're going to publish this handy list here.
Should I get an iPhone?
Sure. Sure, it's document.rtf.
What kind of formats can you publish, like a comic book or landscape or novel or photo book?
Pretty much anything.
Anything?
Almost anything.
Accordion pamphlet of ancient
yes.
Japanese calligraphy.
The trim sizes, I guess, is what you're actually asking about and not my theoretical thing. But we offer a lot of them, 6x9, 8.5x11. We have a mass market paperback size. We have 7.5x7.5. Pretty much the standard sizes we have. So we're going to call this...
I've got a question about something that's not standard, I guess. Do you print board books that small children read?
Unfortunately, that's not something we currently offer. It's something we're looking into, but don't have as an option right now.
Yeah, look into it, please.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm sorry, I skipped a quick thing there. I entered the title. You can also choose whether or not you want to have your content available for people to be able to see, or whether you want it to just be a private project for yourself. So particularly if you're just uploading something for the first time, it's a good idea to do a private project so you can figure out all the kinks to it and everything like that, and get a proof copy, make sure, like Jenny was saying, that the cropping is all correct and everything like that, and then make it live on the site so that people can buy it. Here are most of the sizes. We also have some, that's the tall sizes, the wide, the square, all of our different sizes that are available. Perfect binding, coil binding, saddle stitch. We also have hardcover options, black and white pages, full color pages. All of these are things that we could mess around with, but we're just going to do a simple thing for this demo. And we're going to try and, oh, right. Okay. Ah, here's our document. So we're going to upload our handy document. And it looks like it uploaded fine. And we don't want to add any more files, so we're just going to save and convert.
Good little factory picture?
No.
You guys don't have the little factory picture anymore?
No, we've gone to this nice little bar thing.
I like the little factory with the tootin'.
That is nice. So from this step, you'd want to normally look at the PDF and make sure that it looks the way that you want it to look. We'll just go ahead and click that really quickly. I don't know if it'll actually work or not, because I don't know if Adobe Reader is on here or anything. Oh. It's going to try and download it. So we're going to close that window. We're just going to kind of skip that step. But normally you should look at that and make sure that it looks the way that you want it to look, and all that stuff before continuing. But since it's gone through and it's got told me that it all looks okay, and I know that it's a simple RTF file, it should be fine. And now we're going to wait for the internet to catch up with us.
Have you had any problems with people uploading stuff that's not theirs and making books out of information?
That's a really good question. And unfortunately, sometimes people do try to do that. We, in our membership agreement, we explicitly state that you are required, in order to comply with our membership agreement, to own the copyright or to have documented proof that you have permission to use the copyrighted material in order to put it on our website. Sometimes people try and get around that. But I can show you in just a minute, we have a flagging system in place so that anybody can tell us this content is inappropriate, and we then investigate it, determine whether or not it is a copyright violation. If it is, clearly it's removed completely from the website, and if it's not, then it's not.
Yeah.
So this is the cover selector. You can update the front and back covers. You can also upload your own cover images. We have a gallery of potential images, but you can also upload your own. You can also upload a one-piece cover that has the spine and everything incorporated into it, so you get a really nice look to that. You can change all the fonts, all that stuff on the cover, add your name to it, take your name off, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I also wanted to mention, in regards to questions about copyright, we have a copyright-related panel tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's Copyright Basics for Independent Artists and Authors. So if you'd like to find out more about copyright specifically, you can find it. I believe we have an attorney coming in to talk about that. So you can get more specific information there.
Yeah, ask questions. I'll keep talking.
Yeah, so what do you or your competitors do to help market these electronic documents?
Another good question. We don't explicitly do anything to help market your content. However, we do have a lot of advice for how you can potentially market yourself. In fact, there'll be a panel tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on marketing for the independent creator, which I'll also be on. But there's some very simple things that you can do. The easiest being using things like the ubiquitous MySpace, for example, to help promote yourself. But there is a fine line to walk there, as everywhere, to make sure that you're not spamming people and making them upset with you. But yeah, come to the panel tomorrow and we'll talk about it more.
Nick?
Yes.
My question was regarding back on the copyright issue one step here. Are you doing anything to support Creative Commons licensing of the material you put up and more open copy left kind of thinking?
Absolutely. We completely support Creative Commons on Lulu. So, yes.
Hey there. Down the page a little bit, I noticed there's a space for an ISBN number. And I'm under the impression that that's not something I can just get for free. Or is that true?
I wish. If,
right? I mean, there's some process or...
ISBNs are not free, at least not through Lulu, certainly. There are, you know, if you get a publishing deal or whatever, then with a traditional publisher, that would be included. But on Lulu, we have two options, published by you and published by Lulu. The only difference there is who the publisher of record is. And purchasing that gets you an ISBN. It gets you listed in books and print, which then also gets you into channels like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, things like that. This page in general, really quickly, you set up your category, what kind of content it is, set up keywords to help people more easily find it, like EFF and self-publishing and stuff. So anybody who's looking for those kinds of those words will find more likely my content. And this is, and if I can type, that'd be great.
While you type, as far as the ISBNs are concerned, you'd have to do some research on it because I'm still looking into it myself, but I'm under the impression that normally you have to buy a block of ISBN numbers, you know, kind of like IP addresses, and since that's god-awful expensive, there are companies that will have bought blocks and let you buy an ISBN number for like, you know, $100 or something like that. So you can get one of their, you know, one of the numbers from their block.
And be careful with any of that stuff and make sure that I'm blanking on the company that handles ISBNs. Does anybody remember?
Bowker,
thank you. Make sure Bowker is supporting that, because you're really only allowed to do that kind of thing with Bowker's support. For example, Lulu has that set up with Bowker so that we can sell individual ISBNs. But normally you can't just buy a block and then resell them. You have to be set up with Bowker. So make sure that they've done that. If they have, awesome. If not, be careful.
But yeah, you can buy a single ISBN number from Lulu, isn't that correct? Because
yeah, absolutely. That was okay. The two options that I was mentioning. Those are both single ISBNs, so you don't have to buy an entire block of them. And as you can see on here, you can enter your ISBN number, who the publisher is. We'll say EFF panel for funsies. And then who it's copyrighted to. And you can use, as I was mentioning, Creative Commons instead of a standard copyright as well. One addition to it is the three options. I mentioned that you can have your content available only to you and that you can have it browsable by anyone on our marketplace. You also have the option of a direct access, which is basically it generates a unique URL for the content. And then you can give that URL to anybody you choose to, either publish it on your website or give it to people on your business cards or whatever. And only people who go directly to that link will be able to get to the content. Nobody else will. You can't browse to it or anything like that. But we're going to keep it private access since I don't think anybody's going to want to buy the list that we made. Maybe. I don't know. You guys want to pay me money for that? Because, hey. Here you can set your revenue. We're going to say we want $50 for this list because it's really awesome. You can also specify print and or download. Those are both options, but you choose which ones you want. And you can individually price those. So you can set your book so you want to make $50 on every sale of the book, which in this case, as you can see here, would have a manufacturing cost of $4.55. That's 2 cents a page for black and white and 15 cents a page for color for people doing the math. Because you're charging $50, we're charging $12.50 for our commission. If you set, that's 20% of it. If you set it to zero, we add nothing onto it. It's just the cost of the book, which you can see if I deleted that five there. So see here we have manufacturing cost is $4.55, price is $4.55, but we want to make $50. and I only want to charge $40 for the download because I want to promote that. I think people are going to want to download this handy list that we have. The set license button, I believe, is actually where you can establish the Creative Commons aspect, but I skipped that cleverly. There you go. And now we've finished our publishing. You can create a book preview so you can have people be able to look at your look at what your book or photos or anything like that has in it and get a taste of it, and so they want to buy it because it's awesome.
Is there some sort of minimum involved there? Because $4.55 seems a little high for a single page.
Yes, there is a minimum in there. That's the base cost of $4.53, which includes the binding, the cover, all that good stuff. And then it's the 2 cents a page on top of it. Thanks for the clarification. And there's no minimum prints or anything like that. So if you want to buy yourself a copy of the book, it's whatever the cost of the book is. And if somebody wants to come and buy one copy of the book, they can. If you want to buy 200,000, let's say, copies of the book because you're crazy, you can also do that, and we offer some bulk discounts starting at about 26 copies. And we're done, and it's awesome.
We need to redo that cover because it's ugly as hell.
Yes, that's actually a good point. You can go back in and edit the content and change the cover or any other aspect of it that you want to update it to. Like if you found a spelling error, you can go back through, change it. If you realize your cropping was off, you can go back in and change it.
Hi, I'm assuming with your little web page example, you don't need a copyright in order to get it published. Does Lulu help you walk through that step, or do you have to get that on your own?
Walk through the copyright
step? The copyright,
yeah. We don't currently offer any copyright services. Again, that's something that we're hoping to do soon, but that's something you'd have to set up through copyright.gov currently. Yeah, it's very easy. I think you have to send 2 copies of your book and like $30 and fill out a form.
Since you have the framework in place, are you considering doing publishing of other types of media like DVDs and perhaps animation DVDs or something locked into a genre?
Actually, we already offer that. We do CDs, DVDs, calendars, all that good stuff. So yes.
Okay, questions? Okay. Let's see.
Yay, someone saved us.
For those of you that have experience with self-publishing, how would you judge for a developing artist, particularly a writer, in the process of maturing and developing their voice, knowing the proper junction in their career where it might seem like that would be a, a good time to pursue self-publishing? Because I've heard both sides of the argument. Some writers say self-publishing can be a stigma that you attach to yourself by going down that road. But on the other hand, there have been, as you mentioned, some success stories of, you know, people that had to create their own door into publishing success. So how do you know whether you're the type of writer or the type of professional that would be a good professional choice for in the long run?
Do you have any guidelines? Are you talking novelist?
Particularly for a writer, but, you know, as an artist in general, but particularly, I guess, in the writer's market.
Because I didn't know if you were approaching comic books or novels.
Or perspective
fiction.
On that as well. Yeah. Right.
For me, being an artist, it's really good to have an example, because the design element of your artwork is very important. If you have the book completed, all designed out, ready to go, and a hard copy in your hand that you could hand to somebody and say, this is the product I am selling, that makes it so much easier. For writing, it's more of the idea, the words. I can make those look pretty, but it's not going to be what you're looking for. I can arrange them and put a 3 in there and make a little smiley face or something. But from the design point of view, I could get that down. I'm not very good at telling you about literature point of view.
I think if you have a desire to write more than one, it's always good on your resume. You can always take it to a publisher and go from there and say, you know, look, I've already published this. I've already had people buy it. Take a chance on me because of that. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea.
And it's a hard question to answer, because you'll hear different stories depending on who you talk to about it. There's definitely, if not a real, then a very perceived stigma against self-publishing in some traditional publishing standards. But there are also clear examples of people who have self-published, and the sales that they have gotten through self-publishing have catapulted them into traditional publishing where they couldn't have gotten in earlier. I think really it comes down to a personal choice, and you kind of have to gauge it yourself. Unfortunately, there's not like a, you've crossed this line, it's time to get self-published, and then if you cross this other line, then you should look into traditional publishing. It's really, you have to try it and figure it out for yourself and make those decisions. And like I was saying earlier, really just do your research and look into it, try and find out where the success stories are, try and find out what exactly you want out of this. Do you want to have your content published in some form, or do you want to make sure that you get a traditional publishing deal? There's no easy answer to either of those things. It's really just what you want out of it, and find that and pursue it.
Another thing to think about is you should start, I mean, most writers get an agent. If you start looking at your agents and find out if that's something that would impress them, obviously go for that. I mean, if you have somebody in mind particular, you know, and you've decided you have to have that agent, and they don't, you know, they have a stigma against it, then obviously that's not the way you want to go. So that's something to think about too.
I was working for a company where the artists, there was a young artist, and they loved the guy's work, but they really didn't want to hire him for anything else because they hated his agent. They just didn't want to deal with him. The agent was annoying. And so, I mean, it bowled me over, the idea that this artist was good and would have gotten work, but the agent was just, nobody wanted to work with him. So you know, I do think that there are some avenues that you wouldn't be able to go through unless you had an agent. An agent is definitely something to look into, but just keep an eye on, you know, keep the mindset of, well, just because he's an agent doesn't mean that he's going to be getting some jobs for you. And definitely keeping an eye on how you want to go with it. I got tired of nobody wanting to pick me up, and so I printed my own stuff, and now, even though the publisher says, well, you know, it's an autobiographical comic strip about a girl in comics, nobody's going to read that. I think that somebody said, there was a publisher who said, there's a cartoon about some guys sitting on a couch playing video games. Oh, nobody's going to read that. And PVP went, actually... so having the book printed and having people buy it and getting it done yourself, that way when you go to the publisher, you can pull out the numbers, and the publisher might say, well, I don't see how that's going to sell. And you're like, well, Actually, I've already got, 20,000 people reading it every single day. So being able to pull out those numbers kind of makes them think twice, saying, well, it's already being sold. I just need you to get it into Barnes & Noble's for me.
Also, I think on a good emotional and a small stepping stone scale is with publishers like, say, Lulu, where you could just print just one copy. Just getting your whole project down and printed and in your hands drastically changes your mind and your feelings on where you want to go with things. Until you have a copy in your hands, then you could think, wow, I could take this places, or holy shit, this is crap, what am I doing?
Okay, more questions.
Up here at the front.
Yeah.
Are there any agents that are frauds? To avoid, I have no idea.
I forget the website. Miss Snark, if you look through Miss Snark's site, misssnark.blogspot.com, she doesn't update anymore, but I know that she's mentioned before a website in particular that talks about fraud agents.
Yeah, if you're approached by somebody, a real easy thing is to just ask around. Just turn to the guy next to you and say, have you heard of this? Somebody came in, I worked at a comic book store, and somebody came in and said that they were,
we're awake.
What was it they said? I think they said they were a distribution company. And I said, yeah, that would sound great. He said, yeah, we'll get your book into stores. I said, yeah, I want to do that. And I turned to my boss and I said, hey, have you ever heard of this company? And she went, oh my God, that's a guy in his car who drives from door to door trying to sell your stuff, and he's so annoying that none of the comic shops, he's been banned from a couple of comic shops and stuff. And just turning to the person, or do a Google search, or if somebody comes to you and says, we want to turn your comic strip into a TV show, and you go, oh, that would be awesome, let me see the contract, and you ask around and you see what they're trying to do. I had somebody say, oh yeah, we want to get you into Oxygen. We want to have the live action Devil's Panties TV show for Oxygen. And I went, it's a webcomic. I don't think that's going to translate. I'm not comfortable with that. And I went back to him and I said, listen, I don't think I can write for a screenplay for a TV show. And they said, oh no, that's okay. We'll get somebody else to write it. Wait a minute. You want somebody else to write an autobiographical script? Yeah, this doesn't sound right to me. And sure enough, it was somebody going around to up-and-coming webcomic people trying to get them to sign that contract. Because when I had a lawyer go over it, they went, wait, if they make a movie, you get $10,000. Do you know how much money you usually get from a movie? I mean, anybody who knows anything said this run, cut and run, don't even. So just turning to your neighbor, doing a Google search for them, it's very easy to get stars in your eyes when somebody comes up to you and says, we want to take you to the big time and do TV shows, and step back and breathe for a minute and go, wait a minute, I need to read the contract. So.
When you started that one, I wondered if the question was, are there any agents who are frogs, which didn't make any sense.
Oh, I would totally be down with those guys.
Totally. Which, yeah.
What I wanted to ask is, since we're talking about self-publishing and getting things into stores, if you are self-publishing, is that really possible? How much money are you talking about putting out for yourself if you're putting your books out there? You probably do need an agent, obviously, but what would be the steps you'd be taking?
Actually, with Lulu, if you get an ISBN number, you could actually, it depends on when I worked at Lulu. I was there for a small stint, and I had to deal with some of the ISBN number questions. They had, at the time, I don't know if it's still a two-tier kind of thing. There's the smaller ISBN number, and then there's the bigger ISBN mm-hmm. number. You get the smaller one, you get registered. The bigger one, then the stores know about it. And then you could have people actually go to Borders and request that they order your book.
And actually, it's a little bit different now. Both of the options that I mentioned earlier are the full version. And they both will get you into books in print. And like Rosalie was saying, that will get you, people can go into the brick and mortar and they can ask for it. it won't put you on the shelves. You can, with some brick and mortar stores, you can arrange for a consignment option where you have to provide the books, and you can set that up with the individual store, and they will actually stock some of that. That's, I think, pretty hard to do, but it's at least worth looking into. I think getting an agent is probably your best shot in general.
I believe with a small number, if you have an ISBN, with a small number of books you can get on Amazon.com. You can add it to Amazon.
I don't know if it was a urban legend, but I had heard about a guy who would, he had his books with the ISBN number on them and everything, and he'd go into the brick and mortar stores to Barnes and Noble, and he'd put a stack of them on the shelves, and he'd leave. And then they would, now in theory, it's a good book. So they would sell, and then, or they'd somebody would want to buy it, so they'd go up to the front, and the boarders would scan it and be like, well, it's not in the system. Here, let me put it up there. And apparently there's a whole thing with Barnes & Nobles and Borders about if it's in their system, then all of the stores worldwide will have it in their system. And so you just need somebody to buy it, which, again, is probably the hardest part of any of this, is to get somebody to buy it who's not related to you.
And I can't emphasize enough going through the chains that are appropriate for getting into a bookstore. Some people do try to get around those, and it's illegal, and it will get you in really big trouble. So make sure that you take whatever steps are necessary to do it legally and appropriately with anybody.
About your self-publishing, Lulu, do you offer outside of the U.S.? For instance, I live in Canada. Can I still use you?
Absolutely. And we have printers in the U.K. and Spain, but we offer worldwide service.
Is it about 8 o'clock? Do we have 3 more minutes? Time check.
We have about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
More questions?
We have answered them all.
You will now leave the room knowing everything there is to know about self-publishing in any form.
Is self-publishing the end goal? Is that what you wanted to accomplish when you started out? Or do you want to actually get into the shelves? Is that something that you're looking for? I mean, that's what I would assume, but...
I just wanted somebody to send me a paycheck.
Yeah.
That's how I wanted to sit at home and draw and have somebody else send me a paycheck. But that wasn't going to happen. So yeah, the self-publishing. And I found that, you know, knowing what goes into it and knowing... you know, what it takes to do it. Now, if a publisher comes to me and, you know, never sends me a paycheck, I know that that's because a lot of the books, the sale of the books goes towards the printing of the books, because to print up 2,000 of them, you do need to spend, there's a comma in that number for the price. But I think that self-publishing definitely gives you an awareness and an appreciation of how it works. And knowing that just because it's a good story doesn't necessarily mean it's marketable. And knowing how to market it, beautiful artwork, but if she could sell it as TNA, it may sell a little bit better. And once you get it in their hands, they say, hey, this isn't TNA, but this is good. So yeah, definitely knowing the process of it helps.
Piggybacking on that question, considering what we're discussing with Lulu and the advent of new self-publishing techniques and technologies, do you think it's more or less conceivable or feasible that a success, self-publishing successes like Dave Sim or initially with small presses like Mirage could be sustaining in the future? Or is it self-publishing always going to be like in that nexus in between like traditional publishing and like, you know, hobbyist publishing? Or is it feasible that there could be within like sequential art publishing, you know, a self-sustaining property within self-publishing itself? is that made like more or less feasible with like the new like methods of self-publishing today?
I think it depends on how serious the individual takes it. Like, if you just want to print up 3 books and pass them out at Christmas, that's one thing. But if you're like, I'm hardcore, I think 5,000 people in the next 3 months better have my book, and you go out there and you work your ass off and you peddle your stuff, then yeah, you're going to be as successful as much effort as you put into it.
And there are already small press groups that are doing self-publishing as an alternative. So yes, yeah. I do think that.
There's much more variety. I think that traditionally you had to conform to the mainstream to be able to get it produced and sent out. But now that we have the internet and we have self-publishing, printing is so cheap that anybody can get it printed. I think that this is definitely opening the market, that we can have more crumb artists and we can have more artists that aren't the mainstream and that the major publishing companies wouldn't be going to. But now they're taking notice because there is a market. I mean, Dragon Con alone is, you know, that the mainstream wouldn't have recognized us at all. But you look at how many people are Dragon Con right now, and we're not the mainstream, but there's a lot of us. So I don't think that we're necessarily going, self-publishing isn't necessarily going to take over the mainstream, but it's going to open more doors for much more variety of art and literature. You might just be able to support yourself. You're not going to start your own global empire. You might not be able to raise your kids on it, but some people are going to read it and you're going to get some emails from Germany going, oh my God, this is so me. Which a lot of people who are in the publishing company can't say that a guy in Germany identified with their stuff.
I don't know.
So there's a lot of variety.
Apparently something with McAfee.
The profit margins involved here, as far as what the artist actually gets out of self-publishing, doesn't that make it a much more sustainable thing on a smaller market basis as well?
I would think so. I mean, like I was demonstrating earlier, you choose how much you want to make off of each sale. So if, at least using the Lulu model, I can't speak for every model. So if you want to make $50 off of every sale, you can. You probably won't get that many sales, but you can do it. So because you can determine how much money you want to make, and it's, at least with Lulu, it's an 80-20 split for the creator. Like I was demonstrating earlier, you choose your royalty, we add 20% onto that, and that's the split. If you're selling copies, then you can make a decent amount of money. Will it completely replace the existing structures that are in place for traditional publishing or something like that? Probably not, but I like to think that we're offering a really good opportunity to people to decide what they want and get their creative properties in their hands.
It's, if you've ever tried to do publishing, the difference between self-publishing and the mainstream is printing with Lulu, you print off one or two books and see if they sell. If you're doing the mainstream and you go to one of the bigger publishing companies and you say their minimum print run is 1,000 books, that's a question of, okay, well, I know this is the best book ever and everyone's going to want one, so I'm going to print off 1,000 of them. If nobody buys any, you're a couple $1,000 in the hole. If you print them off with Lulu, and you know, I sound like I work for them in this speech, you print off 2 or 3 and, you know, yeah, you sell 1 or 2, but nobody really picked it up. I have 2 different books. I have the Devil's Panties high school years, and I've got Giba's on Parade LARPing comic. LARPing comic, I get a couple of people come to the convention and say, hey, do you have any of these books? And I'm like, well, they're on Lulu. You can go online and buy one. Because I don't sell very many of them. I sell maybe 1 or 2 at a convention. The high school college years, I sell about 200 every convention. So I went ahead and went to Lulu and said, I'd like 1,000, please. Because I'll make really good money on that. I'll make, $13 a book for every book that I sell of the high school college years. If I had printed up 1,000 of Giba's on Parade, I would be you know, I would have just taken that $5,000 and put it in a box and put it in the ocean somewhere, because I wouldn't have seen it for, you know, I'll never see that again, and I'll have my dining room filled up with some books that aren't moving. So there's definitely the, when you go through the self-publishing, you can take the baby steps. You can see what sells and you can see what you should invest in. I've found out the hard way that just because you think it's the best thing ever doesn't mean it's going to sell, and don't put $3,000 into it.
I think we're at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
If anybody is a writer and wants to be critiqued on a podcast, hook me up, you know. I'm definitely looking for people to be on the podcast, so.
And as I mentioned earlier, there's a panel tomorrow morning on marketing for the independent creator, so if you're interested in how you can actually get your content out there, stop by.